is get God in the house. Amen. That's the answer. Amen. The answer is never about making somebody see it your way. The answer is get Jesus in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You'll never get someone to see it your way, not 100% completely. Praise God. You may not get them to see your way at all. But if you get Jesus in the house, you might end up seeing it his way. Hallelujah. If you can see it God's way, he brings peace all the time. Isn't that strange? Isn't that amazing? We're so good at confusion, but we're awful at peace. That's why we need the Prince of Peace to come over to our house and stay a while. Amen. He knows how to make everything all right. Amen. We must be born again. Yes. Jesus was born so we could be born again. The answer is always, you must be born again. Yes. Praise the Lord. And if you can find yourself truly born again, it is the answer. Hallelujah. It really is. It's more the answer than we realize. We must be born again. John chapter 3, I want to read some things in the Word of God to you and try to say something tonight with just a few words if I can. Hallelujah. I want to read it all. Man, it's one of those times where you wish you could just be like God. And you know how he talks to you, Brother Rick, and gives you a sermon in just one, and like 40 minutes is in your head? I wish I could do that in preaching. I'm sure a lot of people wish the preacher could do it that way. Just like, and let's read this verse and praise the Lord, and then boom, there it is. Kids would get snacks before they go to bed. Hey, hallelujah, because they'd be home in time for it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm just having fun. Be like the old timers used to say. Amen. You give me a few more years and I'll be one of those old timers. Amen. I'm going to begin reading here at verse 5. I'm going to move to it quickly so that you're not standing too long. But we know Jesus is talking to a sophisticated, educated individual who is influenced over a lot of people. He's got good standing among his own. He's well off because he wouldn't have the position that he had if it was not something that also came with some perks. But he's different than the rest. And he's talking to Jesus, and Jesus just changes the conversation, takes charge of it, and says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus didn't understand him. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Don't marvel at it, but you still must be born again. He didn't say ignore it if you don't like it. He said just don't marvel at what I said. Don't try to wonder at it. Don't be overly amazed, but you must be born again. You'll figure it out, in other words. You don't understand it now, you'll figure it out. But when you figure it out, you'll realize even then when you figure it out, you must be born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's no way up for you or me if we're not born one more time. Amen. Praise the Lord. The wind blows where it lists and you hear the sound, but you can't tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? You may be seated. Let's let you be seated now. Horse is already out of the gate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How can these things be? Isn't it amazing that when you and I can have conversation with the Lord, he just takes our conversation and totally says something different, changes our focus, changes our direction. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a little kid coming in the door and, you know, they've fallen off their bicycle and they scrape their little knee and they're crying. And they got their mind on their scraped knee and they fell off their bike and they feel bad. And then mom or dad gives them a lollipop and then totally changes the conversation in order to avert their attention away from the embarrassment of falling off their bike, number one. Scraping their knee, number two, getting overexcited about blood coming from their knee. And before long, they don't even know that they've got a scraped knee. Nicodemus came to the Lord, and he had something on his mind. And the Lord knew that Nicodemus had something on his mind, but it wasn't necessarily something that represented everybody else's mind who was in his group. Not everyone's going to be saved. I hate to say it. I don't want it to be this way, no more than God wants it to be this way, as we're going to read in a moment. But not everyone is going to be converted. Not everyone is of the truth. I'm not saying that everyone is not of a verse of scripture. I said not everyone is of the truth. Truth that we're going to read tonight is greater than a singular verse of scripture. In fact, they that are of the truth have no problem with every scripture. As it is written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. And when you're of God, you want all of it. You don't run from none of it, and you embrace every part of the Word of God. Do you understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live? So when you're of God, when your heart is open to God, then you are ready to embrace every word of God. You are not coming to church with an edited mindset that says, if he doesn't say it like I want to hear it, then I'll skip and go to another church. That's your attitude. Go. We've got two exits. Please use them. But if you're of the truth, there are plenty of chairs. You might as well be on one of them. Praise God. In fact, if you're of the truth, you won't think that way. Amen? We're part of a core group. I love this church. I thank God for this church. Amen? And we're going to grow. We are growing. But I tell you, where this church is greater and bigger and stronger and more spiritual than it was when I first started coming here. Not judging anybody or any people, because the core group is still here. But we have more, not less. And this is something you can build upon. But we've seen many wanderers. We've encountered many people who are not of God. Yet they looked like they were of God. They carried Bibles to church. They quoted scriptures. They sang songs and even gave sermons in the pulpit. But they were not of God. If they were of God, they would have continued with us. But no, they proved to be antichrists instead of Christ. Amen. Praise God. That's why I'm saying tonight, you must be born again. Amen. You must be. It's not about whether you think you are. It's about being born again. Hallelujah. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Jesus answered, are you a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. He has a way of saying stuff. It just makes you go, whoa. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's a piece of history that God dealt with the children of Israel who were doing wrong, murmuring against the men of God. After all those miracles, murmuring. If you have a tendency to murmur, not that I'm saying anybody here does, but if you do, don't. If you get something to gripe about, make sure Jesus is the only one that hears it. And I promise you, when you go to the prayer room to gripe, if you really go and pray, you'll quit griping real fast because you'll realize whose presence you're in, whose name you're calling on, and you'll realize what doesn't need to ascend to the throne room of God. Hallelujah. If I want output, I better pay attention to the input. Amen. If I want power out, I need to give power in. Amen. If I want the mercy and grace of God, I better make sure that I am just filling the throne room of grace with the aroma of humility. Praise God. Amen. And not the aroma of hard-heartedness and pride and arrogance and complaint. There is a way to talk to God about stuff that isn't going right in your life and get answers from God. This is why it's so important. You must be born again. When you're born again, you approach right. When you're truly born again, you are humble right. Amen. When you are truly born of God and you are separated from your mother's womb, amen, separated from being born in sin and shapen in iniquity, praise God, you'll know how to just approach God and get results. Even if life is making you pull your hair out. There's a reason Jesus is saying you must be born again. It's not just to prove you must be born again. There's a reason, praise God. There's stuff he wants you to know, and there's something he wants you to become. Yes. Praise God. And he knows all the answers are inside. You must be born again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It's no fun standing on the outside looking in. You ever see those movies where somebody's starving and they walk by a restaurant with all these yuppies eating and not paying attention to the poor kid in the window? They won't even look at him. And he's just, you could hear his stomach in the microphone. You know, and they're all just faring sumptuously. And there he is feeling his bones cleave to his skin. It's no fun. But when you see that moment when somebody turns and looks and has compassion, goes in there and grabs and brings them in, it's better on the inside. Praise God. It's no fun just staring at church people who have a great time. I guess that's what part of, you know, if you hang around this long enough, you'll want it. Yes. I'm telling you, you'll either want it or you'll be like, I'm done. I'm not going back. I'm hoping tonight to aim for somebody who will make a choice. I'm of this. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am of this. I want this. See, that's what I told God all that week until Thursday night. I said, God, I want what these people got. And Thursday night, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about Thursday night a long while ago. Amen. In January of a certain year. Praise God. Amen. I was telling God at high school, I want what these people got. And see, a change from running from God to wanting to be born again. Amen. No matter what I didn't understand, what I didn't get about the worship, it didn't matter how uncomfortable, I knew something was going to happen that would be beyond me, and I'd be frightened by it, but I started saying, I want what they've got. I want to be of the truth. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I want on the inside. I don't want to be on the outside watching everybody eat their Christmas cookies. I want some too. Hallelujah. You ever get annoyed at some people just talk about food? Not you, Brother Dane. Just give me a second. Let me finish my statement. I mean, annoyed in a good way, where they just talk about all this great food that you can't have. You know, oh, man, I ate this week and that this. And we're kind of like, well, just bring some. You know, praise God. It's no fun not being involved. Praise the Lord. I think you get the message here. I hope you get the message. Being born again will solve every problem in your life. I feel like a Sister Judy statement tonight. He answers all my prayers. Nah. To all you humbugs that say, that's not true. I prayed something that God didn't answer. You lying dog. Praise God. Yeah. I was tempted to pick up the plan again, Sister Lynn, but I won't. Thank you, Jesus. Hide behind, it's not big enough. I know they are. I know they are. They're vibrant, and I'm just glad they're not lilies or hyacinths. That'd be all right, because then they'd have to praise God. I'm going to get somewhere here. Where did I move the clock? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so used to looking, it's like, that's just a speaker. Praise God. Ordered a new speaker, and it's a different variety. I don't remember ordering. So I'm like, something happened in transit. got somebody else's speaker maybe, but I like it. It works. Amen. Praise God. All right, I have everybody's attention again? Good. Just acting like I'm an older preacher. So we're here in verse 15. 14, let me read verse 14. All this is significant, so I'm going to say this in passing so I can try to get to where I'm trying to go in actually John 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to say this one thing to you so that these popular verses of Scripture don't get lost in transit. Jesus was saying something to a ruler of the Jews, and he was saying something, and it made a direct reference to Moses making a brazen serpent, putting it on a pole, because of those murmurers. When they began to murmur and complain against Moses, God sent fiery serpents into the camp and killed thousands. Because they were sinning against the Lord. And the purpose for the brazen serpent at that time was so that whosoever got bit would look towards that serpent, they would be healed and not die. So Jesus is saying, he's making a direct statement to a man who would know what he's talking about. Because when Jesus deals with somebody, he deals with them in a way that they understand what he's talking about, something relevant to them. Nicodemus knew about Moses making the brazen serpent. He was a leader of the Jews, well-versed in the law, in Mosaic law. You understand what I'm saying? And he's saying, and as Moses did this, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And that's the direct reference. As they didn't perish when they looked towards the serpent, that whosoever believes in the Son of Man should not perish either. Praise God. So he's leading his attention. He's taking him a conversation away from just his supposition of who he thinks Jesus is. And he's telling him who he is. And he's telling him why he's here. And he's wanting Nicodemus to get in on it. Praise God. That's why Jesus can take someone in any point in their conversation, whether it's hard, soft, or medium somewhere, and bring them unto himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever believeth in him, now he is talking about himself, to Nicodemus. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So now he's answering his question in greater detail than Nicodemus expected. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Jesus said, well, I'll give you a little bit more to think about. That I'm not just here to do a bunch of miracles and look cute in your eyes. That the Son of Man has come, not to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, if there's ever a verse of Scripture that lets you know that Son of God is not his name, it's this one. That the Son of God has a name. And this alone should help some people who are hungry for God, who are of the truth. Realize that when you read Matthew 28:19, for example, you're reading a verse of Scripture that represents a singular name. That is why we talk about water baptism in Jesus' name so much. Because it's right. And because without it, we can't be born again. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. He's saying this is the condemnation. This is what makes somebody condemned. It's because they love their darkness rather than the light that the name of Jesus brings. And they don't want that. They don't believe in that. Now, here's where some are going to find themselves having their eyes opened a little bit when they come to that crossroad of Jesus wanting to take them a little further. They're going to be tried by God himself, by his truth. Are you of the truth or are you not? For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And you got to answer a question tonight. Are you somebody that does truth? I'm going to read another verse to expand on what I'm talking about here tonight. See, we were all once lost in sin. Like the old time song says, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul, right? But even in sin, because we became believers in his name, believers in his word, we found ourselves, because our heart was believing and open to the word of God, that we were people of the truth, that Jesus came to save. He said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. But he that doeth truth, and I want this phrase to stick in your mind tonight, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. John 18, give me just a few minutes here. I know it's been a long week. John 18, end of the chapter. This is a conversation between the Lord and Pilate. This is the time of the year where the birth of Christ is celebrated. It's a time of Christmas music and cheer. It is a time of what people refer to as the Christmas spirit, a charitable time of giving, a time where people get to pretend in many cases and sort of spruce up a little bit, at least until December 25th. It's mixed with a lot of holiday stuff. It's mixed with a lot of stuff about the Lord, and I'm not here to criticize any of it. I'm just here to say that it's a time of the year when people's minds are upon the birth of a Savior. Peace, goodwill toward men. They're hearing this in songs being sung. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Everyone's focus is on, you know, the manger, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, the wise men, the angels singing, the shepherds going, oh, and all sorts of things happening to make everyone just feel good. And I'm not against feel good. If there's ever a time where people need to feel good, it's right now. And so I say to everybody, have a great Christmas time. Cheer up. Yes. Yeah, get in the Christmas spirit. Better than the one you're in before. But you must be born again. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Or the goodness you seek won't stick on December 26th. You'll be back to your same old Scrooge self. Happy that the holidays are over and you don't have to see those loved ones that you don't like. You don't have to buy stuff for anybody anymore. Or December the 26th, you only find yourself less rich than you were before. Not a penny wiser, quoting Scrooge. Jesus is talking to Pilate, and he's standing before Pilate because it was the will of God. It's not Pilate's will, although definitely wasn't Pilate's will. He was trying to let him go. But it was the will of the people, his own people, who showed those who did, who showed that they were not of God. Jesus looked in the face of many of them and said, if God were your father, you would love me. But you're not of God. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. That's why you seek to kill me, because you're not of God. Don't tell me you're children of Abraham. Abraham wouldn't have tried to kill me. He'd be following me. He'd be ahead of the pack. David would be with him. Elijah would be right beside him. Enoch would be saying, praise the Lord. This is what I was talking about. But you people. He said that to Jews. Israelites, descendants of Abraham. He said, you're of your father, the devil. Remember what Jesus told the woman in John 4. The hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It's no longer about being a Jew or not a Jew. It's about whether or not you're of the truth. It's whether or not you love darkness or whether you love the light. And every one of us sitting in here tonight, regardless of what condition you're in mentally, physically, thank you, Jesus. We all had to come to a point in our life where we said, I don't want to be of darkness anymore. I want to be of the light. I want out of the nighttime. I want in the daytime. Amen. I want to be born again. I'm tired of being ungodly because God will make you feel your ungodliness. He will make you aware of how without God you are. And that's the whole point of being born again. You don't get born again until you realize you need to be. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Does that make sense? It's kind of like when your hungry stomach lets you know you need to put food in it. Your hungry soul sitting in a church service, it's supposed to get hungry if you're of God. If you want God, it's supposed to get hungry because it's saying, I need God. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Now you can run from that and say, I don't want to eat. And you can struggle like I did. Or you can say, no, I want somebody to open that door so I can go sit down at the table and eat with the rest of those people that I'm seeing eating. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I'm finishing. What time is it? All right. It's early. Wow. So you can say a lot in a little bit of time. I just hope I can say a lot or that it is enough to reach you. Amen. Back to square number one that we started this with. Being born again solves everything. Amen. When life's not going right, just lean on being born of God. Of course, you got to be born of God first, then you have something to lean on. When you don't have something to lean on, you go get something to lean on. If you break your leg, you need a crutch. Isn't that right? Doesn't Scripture say, whosoever falleth on Christ shall be broken? There you go. A broken and a contrite spirit, he will not despise. He'll become your crutch. Hallelujah. And it's a good thing. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Yes. We need Christ Jesus the Lord. We need him. Yes. Just let him in your house. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Yes. Amen. I feel like saying some things here. Dear Jesus, help me. All right, where's Pilate? He's in this book somewhere. I think my light's getting dim. All right, let me finish up here so that I keep your attention. Let's see here. Yeah, 29 is a good spot. So they led Jesus to Caiaphas, and then they send him on over to Pilate. Pilate went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto you. Well, isn't that nice? Then said Pilate unto them, you take him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. So he said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So that meant he was going to be crucified. He would die by the hands of a Roman punishment. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said, are you the king of the Jews? And he said, do you say this of yourself or does somebody else tell it to you? He's being a little smart. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? Oh, what a question. What have you done that brings you here? Praise God. What a question. I like to say something about 50 million sinners that have found themselves in a church like ours, somewhere around the world. What have you done that's brought you here? Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I tell you what, it's not about what you've done, but it's about what somebody did that's put your carcass in a church pew.
Hallelujah.
What have you done? It actually wasn't what he'd done, it's what the whole world done. Amen? What a question. What have you done that they brought you to me? Thank you, Jesus. Well, they've all sinned. That's why I'm here. Wow. I love questions. They're so powerful. They make you think. Some people don't want to think. They just want to stare at their screen and scroll. You do that too long, you'll end up stupid. All right. That's enough from the preacher. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to you. But now is my kingdom not from here." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Are you a king then?" He said, "You say so, I'm a king." "To this end," and this is where I'm going, "to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Praise God. Let me say that again. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone that is of the truth, that the whole world lies in wickedness and are condemned already because of their wickedness, because they've loved darkness rather than light. The truth that I'm here to rescue Adam out of sin. Truth that you blew it. It's not just Acts 2:38 alone that's truth. I've come to bear witness unto Acts 2:38. Think a little bigger than that. I've come to bear witness unto the truth. Look who is talking. The Word made flesh. The testimony of God enveloped in human form. Praise God. The light in a body. Hope in a body. Mercy in a body. Grace in a body. Judgment. Wrath wrapped up in flesh. Saying, "I've come to witness unto the truth that all of you are in big, big trouble." And everyone that's of the truth. Jesus said, "I'm the truth." Meaning I'm your way out. I'm your escape. I'm your Savior. Jesus, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone that will believe in my name and follow after me. Praise God. That's what he's talking about. Everyone that is of the truth. When Peter preached the truth on the day of Pentecost, with many words did he exhort and testify, saying, "With what I've just said, save yourself from this crooked and perverse generation." Truth is twofold. Truth exposes, and then truth remedies. Truth casts down, and then truth picks up. Amen. Truth says you're guilty, but it also says, "I can make you innocent." Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're condemned, but I can save you from your condemnation. When your heart's condemned, I'm greater than your heart. If I can just say something, I hope I'm not too loud. No. Hallelujah. If I can just do something, if you can just get here. You know why sometimes we spend so much time reaching for people and hope we can influence them out there enough to get in amongst us? Yeah. It's because we want to give them the opportunity to discover why he was born. Yeah. He was not born, I know I say it a lot, but he was not born to give you your Christmas special. He wasn't born to give you a tree with lights and presents. I know I'm ruining all the traditions, but you know what? Sometimes we got to get past all of the stuff that we have hyped Christmas up to be and say, "Why was this guy born?" And then discover he was born because you were guilty. He was born because you were in trouble. He was born because the human race was on its way to hell. He was born to say, "I don't want you dying lost. And I want to give everybody a chance who's of God, who loves God, who wants God, to find God." Amen. "To this end was I born." So when you think about the little bambino in the manger, please would you think about this? A cross. Shed blood. I was born to die. Yeah, 'tis the season to be jolly, but 'tis the season to repent of your sins. 'Tis the season to be baptized in Jesus' name, because that's the name of the kid in the manger. 'Tis the season to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because that's the Spirit of God that was in the babe, that was in the manger. Hallelujah. To this end was I born, to save you from your wretched self. I didn't come into this world to heap to myself gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. But I came to rescue you. Hallelujah. And give you gold, and give you frankincense, and give you myrrh, and give you joy. Amen. On earth, goodwill and peace towards man. He's the one that came to give. He don't need gifts. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's stand and love him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Almighty God, hallelujah. Think about this tonight. He was born so you could repent. He was born so that a preacher like me and others in this church could take you in the waters of baptism and see your sins remitted. He was born to shed blood that could cover your iniquities. Separate you from the insanity of this life and clean your soul and your mind and give you a new life, a true new life in this life, free of sin and all the trauma that comes with sin. I hope you understand the simple message tonight. Hallelujah. We must be born again. That's the true message on Christmas time. It should be, you must be born again. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's great. You talk about the kid in the manger, but that's not the big message here. Thank you, Jesus. Why do you think he didn't show up at a palace? Why do you think he showed up in a place nobody was looking for him? Why do you think he postured his whole life so that when they saw him, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, there was no desire. He didn't have any form that we should desire him. No comeliness. No. Jesus didn't allow them to take him while his fame was up high and make him a king. It wasn't about the flesh. He said, the things concerning me in Luke 22, he said to the disciples, the things concerning me have an end. And the end was Calvary, where he took Adam to the cross and crucified him. He took humanity and all the sins of the world to the cross. And here's where some goof it up, because if I just acknowledge, see, some are trying to play Old Testament and New Testament times and they're missing it. This isn't a time where you just look towards Calvary, and I'm okay. I just believe that he shed blood and now I'm saved. No, you're not. Yet. This is about being a partaker. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. That's why he came. He came to separate you and to love you into his church and to make you a new creature. So it's not just to Nicodemus, he's dead, but it's to us who are alive, you must be born again. Hallelujah. That's why you're getting all happy about Christmas time. Something about Christmas time makes you wish it was Christmas every day. If it doesn't end up with, I need to be born again, you missed the message. And all you did was celebrate another holiday, got a gift, wow. And if that's all it happens for you, you'll die in your sins. But if you can get a hold, if you can dig past the presents and get past the Christmas tree and the dew that flies with reindeer, if you can get past all of that nonsense and say, Why was he born? And what does it have to do with me? Now you're on the right track. Even if right now you love darkness rather than light, you can turn from that and start being of the truth.
Yes.
Amen. So it's up to you. I'm done. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Believe. Forsake your wicked ways and start calling on Jesus' name. That's what this is about. That's why he was born. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Almost done. Don't be afraid to interrupt people's lives with the gospel. Don't be afraid to rock the boat. We're called to do it. There's no easy way in sometimes. For some, we just got to kick the door down, spiritually speaking. We have to drive out in front of them and make them honk. We have to get them stirred up. You Christians are why the world's all messed up. That's right. You're absolutely right. No, I know. I'm just making a point about somebody crossroading, and thank God for that. But I'm saying, in the right spirit, of course, but don't be afraid to be used of God and find yourself going beyond and taking somebody beyond. That's what Jesus did every time he was with somebody one-on-one. He took them beyond. When we come to church and God answers one of your prayers, or most of the time he answers prayers is when he takes us beyond our concern about our prayer need. And the miracle comes when we find God being God and we just being yielded and of the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your word and this great service tonight. Help us all end up converted on our way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.